Stand by. Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're very happy to welcome award-winning artist Cece Peniston to the show, talking about her new album and also the amazing fitness journey she's been on that has changed her life both mentally and physically. Our fashion consultant, Parmal Gahunia, stops by to wrap up the amazing Hollywood award show season and the looks from the red carpet that will stay with us this spring. We then welcome Montreal jazz artist Chantal Duvilliers, talking about her new album, Funky Princess, and what it's like to be a tenor saxophone player.
Capture your need for sound.
We're thrilled to welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show international recording star Cece Peniston. Cece took the R&B and dance world by storm in the early 90s when she released her hit song, Finally, that went shooting up the charts, and she was successful at scoring 5 major number one hits within 3 years. Cece has recently released some more music and also competed in a fitness competition, and we cannot wait to catch up and see where she is headed next. Cece, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for being on.
So,
definitely.
I want to just take us back. I can't wait to talk about all your new stuff, but I just want to, you know, set everybody's mind straight with regards to where you began. When Finally hit and went crazy, did you think at that time, were you able to sort of forecast in your head, like, I could do this for a career, and then here you are over 20 years later?
Girl, you know what? I knew what I was going to be like when I was 13, to be honest with you. I remember coming in the house, telling my mom at like 13 years old, I'm going to be famous one day. And she's like, yeah, go back outside and play. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the people, I was like, I kind of knew that I loved singing at that young of an age. That was after someone actually brought it to my attention that I could sing. I was probably like 11 years old. I didn't know that I could sing. And I got on stage and I was like, this is my home. This is where I feel most comfortable. And then I would say when Finally hit and I got in the studio and started really doing music and it was my music, I knew that was my home and my place, and I knew I was going to be doing it for a long time.
What did it feel like when Finally hit and you knew, like, there were things that you needed to get done? Because I think if memory serves, the album wasn't done yet, right? And you had to race to get it finished?
Oh, yeah. Girl, I was still traveling on the road, like, very heavily. And they were like, Finally's a hit, you need an album. I'm like, okay, like, when are we fitting this in? So in between, like, me doing dates, what I would do is fly in somewhere. If I had a show, I would fly in, do my music, get in the studio, like, maybe even after a show, or I had a day off, and I just had to get it done, and that's what we did.
We may have
flown a producer into the city, like I was going into next, and they would get in the studio, and I would get in with them at the city that I was at.
Wow, so the album was, like, really sort of international in a way of you recording all over the place.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, this is something I don't think I've ever asked you, even though you've been on the show a couple of times. And I mentioned to you sort of off air that I recently just interviewed Chili from TLC. And I asked her, I said, you know, everybody loves all your singles, the big ones like Creep and Waterfalls and all that sort of stuff. But I said, what is your favorite track? And her favorite track is Hat to the Back from TLC. What is your favorite song from your catalog? Because you have so many hits. Is it actually a hit or is it an album track?
Actually, it's an album track. Of course, I love Finally, because Finally has been so good to me. That's my baby. That was like that song I wrote about finding Mr. Right. That was me writing that. So that was my baby. But if I had to say vocally, a track that I really love doing, especially I love the way it sounds, it's Inside I Cry.
Okay. Awesome. That is a great album track. And did you have back in the day, you know, Cece, because I know you were in your early 20s at the time, was it hard for you to have your say in how the company was going to release your singles? Like, did you have a lot of input or were they like, no, look, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, we used to kind of fight a little bit. To be honest with you, girl, they had one vision in mind and I had another. And sometimes we met in the middle and other times it was like, we'll just agree to disagree.
Wow.
And because, you know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do, they wanted to do what they wanted to do, and I was like, look, I can't always just be the kid. And some of the stuff I felt like they had me in was, like, to me, more mature, like Love Thing video, like the outfit they had with me in the jacket and skirt. I was like, I'm 21 and I'm looking 35. I'm gonna need y'all to, like, I was so agitated when they did that. So, you know what I'm saying? I went in my suitcase and actually, you know, the little outfit with the boots and the hat with the little green, like, in the jacket?
Mm-hmm.
That was in my suitcase and I pulled it out and put it on because I was, irritated with them. So they put on what they wanted to, and I put on what I wanted to.
Did you really enjoy
Doc Martin? Moving.
That's awesome. Did you enjoy shooting videos? And which one was your favorite from back in the day? Because you have such a great smile, and you always look like you're having a great time. Were you?
I was. Man, I had so much fun doing like all the different scenes. Like, oh, there's two videos that I really love. And one, because it was like, it reminded me of a movie, and it was shot by Antoine Fuqua, who did like Training Day, and he also did The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. He shot that video. So it was like a mini movie to me. And like my little baby brother was in there. We were trying to look for him. And then we did Keep on Walking, which I love because like Big Daddy Kane was in that. And Isis. There were different like artists in that video that were hot at the time. People was loving, you know, Big Daddy Kane. So it was like, I love doing that as well because I love doing the choreography with Big Les and Lorianne. So I love that for a different thing because it had a different urban feel to it than just Final.
Now, when you switched to your next album, Thought You Knew, in 94, obviously it was much more on the R&B tip. Was that you pushing for that, Cece, or did the record label try to guide you down there as well, or did they want the big dance hits?
That was me pushing, and part of it worked and part of it didn't.
I love the
but
album.
Hey, you
so
live and you learn. Thank you. That was my favorite because I also have, as I have the pop, I also have the R&B in me, and I was willing to take the risk. So I just said, you know what? What works, works, and what doesn't, doesn't. And they were not as supportive on the second album as the first. You know, everyone wants a duplicate. Hey, we need another Finally. We need another Keep on Walking. We need another. Instead of saying, hey, this is a whole other project. Let's see what other creative things that we can come up with.
It was a fantastic album. I love all your albums. And I think you kick butt when you're singing R&B stuff. So I will always support you on that.
Thank you, girl. I love it. And I'm working on a Neil Soul project right now with a guy named Paris Toon right now. And funny enough, I just got out the studio for my own project with Calvin Richardson, who's an R&B artist. Women love him.
Awesome.
I keep saying, I was like, I'm going to need some Neil Soul when I'm on stage with him because they're going to scratch me for singing with him.
That's awesome. And you have to talk to us now about your new project because, you know, we know that your song Nothing Can Stop Me is out. There's Sick is out. And then also Love Don't Take Over, which you did with the late, great Frankie Knuckles. So out of those three tracks, which one sits with you or do they all sit with you in different ways?
They all sit with me in different ways. I'm blessed to have Love Don't Take Over by Frankie Knuckles because it was the last song that he remixed right before he passed away. So for like the great legendary Frankie Knuckles and me be able to get together like after all these years and have a song out, I mean, that's like a beautiful blessing. And it's House, which some people have heard and expected from me. So they get that Cece Peniston feel. Then there's Sick, which is very unexpected, I think, with a lot of people, me and Paris Toon. That's for the Neo Soul album. Just finished the lyric video for that as well. So people get to see a different side. It's kind of like the inside I cried, but more, not as pop, but more Neo Soul feel to it. And then the other track, Nothing Can Stop Me Now, I feel like sounds like authentic Cece. Although it sounds like me, it's still new. It feels like what's going on right now in 2015. But the message behind it is also beautiful as well. Like, hey, this is the song I came with first, and this is where I'm going, and this is how I feel in my life.
Are there going to be lots of remixes? Because I think so many people are used to seeing remixes from Cece Peniston, and then, you know, the dance clubs go crazy.
Girl, if I don't do them, I know somebody's going to do them, because they always do. They always do that. I'll look online and be like, where the hell did this one come from? You know what I'm saying? So definitely, I'm sure if I don't get a chance to do all the remakes with somebody.
Okay. Now, you have to talk to us about your fitness journey that you've been on for at least the last year in my book. As you know, I'm a big fan of yours. I follow you on social media, and I've been watching you through
Thank
this
you.
Journey. What has it meant to you, you know, internally, and what do you want fans to take away from this journey that you've been on?
That you can change your life and get healthy, and in the middle of getting healthy, you can look great as well. I lost at least 25, 30 pounds, and I competed in the fitness competition. It was like over a six-month period because I was on the road traveling. So in between that, I was training with my trainer, and I'm still training with him now because I'm getting ready to do another one as well. But I don't know exactly when because in between my traveling as well, I want to make sure that I look greater and better than the last competition. Mm-hmm. So people can go and log on my.com and probably sure on your site to see the pictures of my results. But from that, what came was I felt like not only was I healthy, I was stronger. I feel better than ever. I'm in shape. Someone offered me to be an endorsement for their company. It's a supplement drink that we're working on now. Also from that, I'm starting my own bathing suit line, which I'm working on right now. I have about 15 samples, but the girl just went in. She's going to do probably another 25 samples now so that I can put a fashion show together. I'm sure I'll need even more of that, more than that, as we're coming up. But that's where I am now. And then also, I'm getting ready to do a reality show, so I'm planning for that as well. But I can't say what it is yet because we haven't gone to contract.
As soon as it's ready to go, you'll come back on the show, right?
Oh, girl, I love you. You'd be like, she told me she was going to do that.
That's awesome. You have so many irons in the fire right now. Like, do you have a preference? Like, and is music still your base?
Oh, music is still my base, but I feel like we're in a different time and place with the internet and with branding. You can't just be an artist anymore. You have to have, like, other marketing tools. People are like, yeah, that's all well and good, but with the way that the internet is set up, people can steal music. They're not supporting the artist as much. You have to have other outlets, I feel, that are close to you, that you believe in, and that's my baby. You know what I mean? So I'm continuing to, you know, keep my branding out there and keep my marketing up and make sure I stay on top of it. As a 90s artist especially, sometimes they don't give us as much leeway. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure that, you know, you're paying attention.
That's right. Joining us on the show is award-winning recording artist Cece Penniston. Make sure to check her out, ccpenniston.com, and you can grab all of her social media on her website. Cece, you brought up the 90s, and I have to talk to you about that. How do you feel about the resurgence of 90s artists, if you will? Because if people sort of pay attention, you know, they'll see that, like, Bell Biv DeVoe is out there, New Edition's out there. Now, for example, New Kids on the Block, again, are doing a tour. They're bringing TLC with them and Nelly. And obviously you and Crystal Waters and Martha Wash, you're still doing your thing. Barbara Tucker. Do you think that there's respect for you guys again?
You know what? I don't know if the respect was actually lost. I just think that I feel like this music evolved. And I think that everything has their time. That's just like when they say the style is in, that style is in. I feel like right now, the 90s is popular. I think that people are coming off of some of the other music, and they want probably something a little more real. If you even look at, like, commercials, I have a national commercial out right now with Tina products. But if you look, I'm not the only one. You have Salt and Pepper with the Pushy commercial. I think it's with Geico. Then my commercial is Tina. And then I've Got the Power.
Nice.
The yogurt commercial.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Martha Wash, right?
Yeah.
So it's like there's a resurgence of that music, and I think kids are going back just like how I did, and I was listening to Marvin Gaye and Patti LaBelle, and they're going back and listening to us. This generation is going back to listen to SWV and CC and Martha, and they're going back and listening to Nex and Joe. And you know what I'm saying? So they're going back to that music because, you know, they're looking for something different.
Now, something that I've you know, spoke to you about before, and I spoke to Crystal about it as well, Crystal Waters, you guys, I think, are a little bit different, let's say, as opposed to a TLC, for example, where you guys seem to have this huge support from the gay community, which I think will always keep you in good space. How do you feel about your gay fans?
Oh, I'm happy that my gay fans support me. I couldn't be more blessed. I mean, I go to the drag shows, and girl, they're doing CC. They got on the outfit, the full outfit with the little white, with the headbands, glasses and stuff. I'm like, hey, I love it. Like, I couldn't be more blessed. People come up and tell me, hey, I met my partner on your song. I came out to your song. So I'm thankful definitely that I get to do the Pride Fest and that there's a variety of people that support and love my music. So I'm very thankful.
Now, I know that you're super active on social media. We've mentioned that before on the show. Have you found your groove on one of them? Like, I know, just watching you as a fan, I know you post to Instagram quite a bit. Which is your favorite out of, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook?
Oh, Instagram. I feel like leave a pick and go. You have to keep replying back and forth on Twitter, and it's like in your feed a different way. When you're on Instagram, it's like you have that picture, you can see what the feed is, and it's a lot easier to me.
And
I enjoy that a lot more, just like kind of like Facebook, but just more pictures.
And how do you feel about the fan support that you do get on social media? Because I know you have a fair amount of followers, and does it still lift your spirits when you hear from them?
Yeah, I do. There's a couple of, you know, people that want to, you know, be the, how can I say it? There's a lot of great support, and there's a couple of people there that like to come on, leave a couple of messages that are, like, you know, out of pocket a little bit. But I love it, too. I like to see kind of like what the different opinions of people are because, you know, not everybody's a robot. Everybody's human. And just to kind of see what probably people thinking or hearing, whatever, it's all good either way, good or bad.
It definitely seems that you are in a great groove right now. What message do you have for your women fans out there who, you know, might be slogged down with family and work commitments? What do you want them to know, you know, in 2015 about taking better care of themselves?
definitely like this is the time to carpe diem. And I say carpe diem, seize the moment because the light is on and the time is now. And take advantage of the moment. I would definitely say, ladies, take time for yourself. You have to have some me time because if you don't have some time for you, you can't give. If you poop out on everything else and I get time for you, you can't give anything to anybody else. You don't have anything left. Try to get healthy. Take care of yourself. You know, there's a lot of, like, information on the web, you know, on the internet, just different places like TV. You know what I'm saying? You can get healthy. Go to a trainer if you can. You know, being healthy, like, implements in so many ways in your life. It deals with your will, being stronger and how you carry yourself just on a daily basis.
Now, before I let you go, Cece, what is up next for you over the next six months to 12 months? I know you mentioned the reality show hopefully coming your way. Are we getting an album from you, like a full-length album?
Oh, absolutely. Full-length album. Reality show is definitely coming through. We're just waiting to go to contract and find out what's totally going on with that. And then also, I'm working on a couple of fashion shows for my bathing suit line with my celebrity chef. And then, you know, continuing, like I said, another fitness competition and working on self, most of all, just not even as an artist, but just as a person. So I'm working on me.
Awesome. And I have one last question. Is there anyone out there now, whether it's, you know, a top 40 artist that we hear on the radio, whether it's the Rihannas or the Katy Perrys of the world, or even someone that's like a fellow colleague from your 90s days that you would like to collaborate with? Because you have such a voice, and I'm sure there'd be lots of people lining up to spend some time with you on a record.
Thank you so much. Another person like besides Calvin Richardson that I'd love to collaborate with is Music Soul Child, because I feel like he kind of is like me. Like, he had that song, he had that energy like me. And
awesome.
I feel like we would be a great complement to each other. So him and Joe. I would love to do something with Joe, too. I love his voice.
Excellent. Well, we're putting that out in the universe for you. So hopefully they'll hear about this and get on it. Cece, we love you.
Hey, girl. And as far as girl power, too, look, Adina Howard. That's my girl. So me and Adina getting on the track together as women, like from the 90s, I think will be hot and unexpected from people.
Awesome. And you know that one day I always hope that you and Martha and Crystal will do a song. So I hope one day you guys.
That would be great. Actually, me and Robin talked about that. So you never know.
There we go. Please do it just for me. That would be awesome.
I would love to. Definitely.
I love you guys so much. And Cece, we so, you know, support you, and we're so happy to have you on the show anytime. So thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much.
That is award-winning artist Cece Peniston. Again, make sure to check her out on her website, cecepeniston.com.
Sad love song, like gravity. me. You can hold me. No stopping me.
Always happy to welcome this guest back to the Kelly Alexander Show. She keeps us up to date with what is happening in the fashion world. And as we come to the end of another award show season, there is lots to talk about with what we saw the celebrities wearing and what that means for us. So fashion consultant Parmal Gahunia, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kelly. It's great to be back.
So we talked a little bit, prior to the award season, and then I think we've had a little chit-chat discussion about the Golden Globes. But now, like, really, quote-unquote, you know, the awards are now done. The Oscars are now done. The Grammy Awards are now done, which is a big thing, obviously, for music stars. So can you give me, I guess we'll start with the Grammys because they went first. And we'll take a look, I guess, a little bit at the Grammys, a little bit at the Oscars, and what that means for us as we head towards spring. So Grammy-wise, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the Grammys were really great this year. I mean, all in all, the awards season was definitely star-studded, and there were so many great looks. So many diverse looks this year. It was really exciting to watch as a viewer, but also as a fashion admirer. So the Grammys, I think some of my favorite looks were Taylor Swift was the showstopper in that gorgeous peekaboo emerald green two-toned Ellie Saab dress. I don't know if you remember, she had that peekaboo and the magenta strappy heel underneath. Everybody was just floored when she hit the runway, hit the red carpet, sorry. She really did look like a supermodel. Usually she looks like America's sweetheart, but this was a bit of more of an edgy look for her. But that green just made her skin pop, her hair. She just looked flawless. So she was definitely one of my favorites at the Grammys. And then everybody's favorite, Gwen Stefani.
Yep.
I know that you love her too, Kelly, but I love her just because I think she always brings something different to the table. And she didn't disappoint this time because she wore a jumpsuit that was the Altier Versace jumpsuit that she wore was just, you know, cut to her body like a glove. It had deep pockets, and it just really made her look so young and fresh. I mean, she's a mom, but, you know, she still looked hotter than ever. She had that classy updo, and she really couldn't do any wrong on the red carpet. It was nice to see her not in a dress, in something more trendy, and she really is a style icon, so... I think hopefully that brought some inspiration to everybody else watching too. The jumpsuit's such a huge trend, so she definitely brought it. And then, other than that, I really loved Lady Gaga. I thought she looked fantastic. I mean, some people gave her a little bit of heat because, it was pretty low cut, her dress, and it was low cut not only in the cleavage line, but also coming up the bottom. But, I mean, that's typical Lady Gaga. So if you see the transition of what she used to wear to award shows, you know, coming onto the red carpet in, what was it, an egg one year?
Yeah.
It was like a,
yeah, she came in an eggshell.
She's really evolved, and she's really... so much more feminine now, and maybe it has something to do with her being recently engaged or being in love, but she really is, she looks like herself, but just a little bit better. She's wearing that silver metallic Brandon Maxwell dress, and she just looks stunning. I mean, she had a great tan. Her body was glowing. It was just beautiful on her. She really, maybe it's the fact that she got engaged, like I said, but she just looks fantastic. And then Chrissy Teigen, she's not really, you know, a singer, but she's always the plus one for John Legend. And honestly, she just never, ever, ever disappoints on the red carpet. And she is a supermodel. But the point is, she just always looks flawless. I mean, she's always going to be in my best dress, I think, because literally her stylist is the number one. So she wore a white Gucci gown with a geometric cutout, and she, again, oozed sex appeal, a little bit kind of that 70s feeling that we're seeing everywhere right now, but she looked statuesque and like a goddess, and of course, against that skin tone, anything would look great. But those are definitely my favorites for the Grammys. I know it was a little bit ago, mm-hmm. but those were definitely the mentionables.
Can I actually ask you a quick question about the Grammys with regards to Madonna? Because she came mm-hmm. she came in wearing that Matador ensemble, which obviously was like
right.
yeah, it was like a precursor to her performance. Like, what do you think? Like, I actually thought the Matador thing wasn't too bad. It kind of reminded me of when she did the Take a Bow video back in 94.
Did, and also, like, I've seen her in concert. That's very true to a lot of outfits she does. Even in the Confessions on the Dance Floor tour, she had something very similar to that. I mean, Madonna is an old-timer, right? She's always going to have that element of stage presence, so, like, almost bringing the stage to the red carpet. So, you know, something that she would maybe even do in one of her shows, she might also bring to her. I didn't mind it. I mean, if you know Madonna, you know that she's going to show up in something like that. If she showed up in a black gown, I think everybody would wonder.
Right.
That's just, you know what I mean? Like, it would be so out of character for her. That being said, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody expected Lady Gaga to make that much of a transition into being such a lady again.
Right.
But again, like, Madonna has never really diverted from that. I mean, you've seen her in pantsuits, but I can't really remember a time that I've seen her in a dress or a gown. Like, it's pretty rare she'll wear something, either, you know, a pantsuit or some kind of leather legging or something very dominatrix looking.
Yes.
But I mean, you know what I mean? I can't really remember her, a time when I've seen her in a gown. Can you, Kelly?
Yeah, no, it's been a while. And I, like I said, it's funny because you know me, you know, I'm a huge Janet Jackson fan, and sometimes it's
That's
always
right.
like, it's
mm-hmm.
like Team Janet or Team Madonna. But obviously Janet's sort of taking a bit of a rest right now and doing the married thing, and Madonna's still out doing her thing. But I'm actually really behind Madonna these days because I'm really frustrated with this ageism thing that's going on and everyone coming
totally.
Down her neck. So I thought it was great that she showed up in that Matador thing. I thought she actually carried it off better than the pantsuit that she wore last year, because I think it was like a little oversized.
With the grill?
On her. Yeah, it was like a little off. I think had she worn a more form-fitting.
She looked like a pimp a little bit. Yeah,
she looked a little out of style, like trashy pimp. So thanks for the update on Madonna, because I wanted your thoughts on that. Now,
But you know what? She was the best performance of the night.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she was
good.
One of the best performances.
Yep.
The Grammys were very muted this year. I mean,
yep.
I fell asleep during a few performances.
So true.
I'm going to be honest. But she did not disappoint, because she is a true performer, whether you love her or you hate her. But I mean, I go through love and hate with her too. But I think that if you really have seen her in concert, the showmanship, I mean, this woman does not take a break.
No, nope.
It's just her on stage. So Pilates works, whatever she is doing in her life. She does not look like she's pushing 60, right?
I know,
like,
it's crazy. It's amazing.
And there are performers right now who cannot do what she does.
Oh, for sure.
So,
no. All the junior mints need to take notice.
Exactly.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show was our fashion consultant, Parmal Gahunia. And you should definitely follow her on Instagram at Parmal Gahunia. And she's got a brand new website, so check that out as well. Parmal-Gahunia403.com. So check that out. So now, as we move towards the granddaddy of award shows, I guess, even though I prefer the Grammys, but Oscars are where it's at fashion-wise, I would say. Can you give us a few of your favorites? But I just want to kick you off by asking about my favorite, which I believe was Scarlett Johansson in that like emerald green number. She looked amazing.
She wasn't my favorite, Kelly.
Really?
But you know what? She was so many people's favorite. I think it was an Ellie Saab dress, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to refer back to my notes. I can't remember. But she was definitely, like, even on Fashion Police, they couldn't get enough of her. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. I felt she looked a little bit old.
Oh, really? Okay. I just thought she looked like power woman.
What do you think?
I thought the color was amazing on her. And I just thought, and
the color was amazing on her. I'll give her that.
Yeah. And I thought her hairstyle was like with this funky kind of shaved business. Like it was like a mix of glamour and like new agey. And I just thought it worked really well. And actually, if I can segue into Jennifer Lopez for a second, I actually thought she was a bit too tame in that gown. Like, I wish she had to come with some color, because she she's so gorgeous. And had she been in like a red or like a blue or even like a purple, but like I found she was so muted, even though the dress itself was gorgeous, the color was way off for me.
You know what? You know me, love Jennifer. She can do no wrong.
Yep.
And I got a little bit of heat from everyone because they're like, you just love her. You just love whatever she wears. She'll be your best dress because she's Jennifer Lopez and you love her so much. That's not true. But I do agree that she could have picked a better color. Almost even like a blush pink would have been
right.
a little bit better.
Right.
Or like, yeah. So, but I think what happened is, you know, the tonal is very in right now. So the tonal, tone on tone, texturing is a huge trend for spring. So I think, you know, maybe it wasn't her per se, but I did think the gown looked stunning on her. And I think if anybody could have pulled it off, it was her.
Right.
I still think she looked gorgeous. I think the glow definitely helped because she does have such a stunning glow, and she pulled her hair back. So she really did want to showcase the gown. I think Jennifer Lopez wears what Jennifer Lopez wants to wear.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think it really has. She said, oh, well, if anyone can pull off the color, it's me. I think that's a difficult color to pull off for anyone, champagne. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're a little bit, maybe if you're an African-American lady, yes, it would look better on you. But if you're definitely Caucasian, I don't think that you could pull off that color any better than
she
did.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
So I think it would have been one of those things that, you know, she loved the gown and maybe that was the color it came in. I still think she looked fantastic.
Oh, yeah,
but,
for sure.
But I do know what you're saying because I got a lot of heat from one of the discussions I've had with people. Like, you just liked it because it was her. But I love anything from Ellie Saab. I thought the collection was great. So anyone wearing Ellie Saab, they're always on my best dress list. I think that it's such a fun, she's such a fantastic designer for the red carpet. But I just love that Cinderella look on Jennifer. I think that it's different from what she wears on Idol.
You're right.
From what we see her. She always saves the best for the Oscars. I mean, she's at every award show.
Oh my, she's always a power train. She's everywhere.
And she gets better looking with age.
Oh my God.
She's one person who, honestly, if you look back when she was Jenny from the Block to what she is now, I personally never liked her before. I think in the last maybe 5 years, she has really turned it around and made that image for herself. And she's just a timeless beauty now.
Oh, this is for sure. Now,
okay, I'm going to stop because I could go on forever.
So who would be like your other two or three top Oscar picks before we move on to spring fashion?
So the Oscars there were so many different things involved in the Oscars this year. I can't even really start with, I think I'm going to narrow it down because there are so many people that did different things and I love them for so many different reasons. But I think Naomi Watts was another one that, again, she's always on my best dress list, but it's because she always takes a risk. And I love risk takers. I think that, Jennifer is a muted beauty maybe on the red carpet, but Naomi Watts always stands out and she took a major risk. It definitely paid off. She wore a tiled black and white Armani Privé gown. It had cutouts on the side, and she just looked so sexy. I mean, talk about a woman who, her makeup is always very subtle, but she just lets the gown speak for itself. Again, her stylist is the number one. Like, she can do no wrong. So always a winner on the red carpet. She was definitely one of my favorites. And then Rosamund Pike. We talked about her at the Golden Globes, too. I thought she was stunning. I mean, a lot of fashion bloggers and a lot of people in the media have been giving her heat for kind of flip-flopping. And, you know, some award shows she looks great, and then others she's a total miss. I think this one, she honestly saved the best for last because she looked stunning. I mean, everybody was hailing to her that night. She wore one of the best gowns, I think, of the night in the crimson lace Givenchy. And I think she won back all the haters. I mean, people were really giving her heat. She had her hair pulled back. She just looked like elegance. And again, that beautiful split in the front and that gown just fit her like a glove. It was very fitted, but it kind of just flared out a little bit at the bottom. And she just walked the red carpet looking like, you know, she belonged there, basically.
Okay.
And then a few others, I think Lupita. Let's talk about her for a second. I mean, she was the belle of the ball last year. She did it again this year. She wasn't that great at the Golden Globes, but she definitely took the cake here at the Oscars. Again, everybody saves the best gown for the Oscars. It is the number one, showcase for fashion. And then she wore that beautiful Calvin Klein collection gown with 6,000 hand-sewn pearls on it.
Wow.
Like, can you imagine?
crazy.
It's like, wow, when I heard that, I'm like, that's a showstopper right there. I don't think that gown really would have looked good on anyone else.
Right.
And I'm not sure I really would have liked it on anyone else. But everyone, when she hit the red carpet, could not stop talking about her. I mean, it might have been the 6,000 pearls, but whatever it was, she looked gorgeous. And then, you know, two of the people that everyone always watches on the red carpet, and Emma Stone's kind of like America's sweetheart right now. She is the Jennifer Lawrence of 2-3 years ago. It's not better because I wasn't a big fan of Jennifer Lawrence, but Emma Stone is really, I think because she has that all-American kind of look about her. She's not blonde, though, but she's kind of quirky and a little bit nerdy, but just kind of your average girl, and she has these features that are just stunning and that skin. So again, she just wore an Ellie Saab sequin lime green gown. Again, that's a risk of a color to wear on the red carpet. But with her hair color, I don't think many other people could have pulled off that gown. And she took a risk, and it definitely made her look like a breath of fresh air. She really was stunning on the red carpet. She was one of the last people to arrive. I remember that. And everyone was waiting for her. Everybody. I was watching E! Fashion, and even on Fashion Police, they talked about it afterwards. It's like people were waiting for her. Who was the one everyone was waiting to see on the red carpet? It was Emma Stone. And some people think it wasn't the right gown for her because she had so many hits before that. I mean, she had the Dior pantsuit that she wore, and then, the Dior gown. I think it was at the SAG Awards, and then she wore the pantsuit at the Golden Globes, and she really, again, she looks young. She looks age appropriate. Mm-hmm. So everybody was really waiting for her. Some people were disappointed. I wasn't. I thought she looked fantastic. And then another one of my favorites was Jennifer Aniston. I gave her some heat, remember, at the Golden Globes.
Yep.
I thought she looked horrible in that black Yves Saint Laurent dress. Mm-hmm. Well, she definitely won all the haters back again, me being one of them, in the Versace strapless metallic bone. Metallic bone is like a color you're going to see again. And, you know, you could have said the same thing about Jennifer with her, that, you know, the color was very muted to her skin tone. But she looked stunning. She looked like she was glowing, too. Again, it might have been the tan or whatever it was, but she looked sexy and flawless, which is really her look. You know, when she does an updo or she tries to be a little too sophisticated, it's not really her thing. But again, she went back to what works for her. I'm happy it wasn't black. She took a risk with the color, but she looked fantastic.
Awesome. So quite the red carpet, I guess we could say. And then now, like, for us, what does this mean for us? Like, what are the fashion that is coming our way for spring 2015?
So for spring 2015, a lot of the trends or colors are always, you know, transition into mainstream. But a few of my favorites are definitely going to be, I've already been kind of showing a little bit of my favorite trends on Fashion Fridays, but one of the major ones is that 70s look. So the palazzo pants, the suede jackets, the peasant tops, and lots of prints that make you feel maybe a little groovy, baby. But, like, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. all about that 70s look coming back.
Okay.
And this look is all about toning it down. So maybe you take that one key piece that's, you know, the palazzo pant, but you wouldn't put it with maybe a super printed top or something that's, again, very true to the trend. Maybe you would put it with just a white basic blouse. So, again, knowing when to pair the super trendy item with maybe something that's a little bit more classic. That's one of my favorite trends. It's probably the biggest one you're going to see for spring. Some other ones are the utilitarian look. So a lot of it is inspired by uniforms. So you're going to see a lot of exposed hardware on garments, and then deep pockets, a lot of exposed pockets. You're going to see a lot of that military green color, okay. A lot of earth tones in general,
okay.
But a lot of that kind of khaki green and khaki beige. So that's going to be something to look out for. Probably my favorite look for spring, and everybody who knows me knows I love the lace. So white lace is my favorite look for spring. It's so romantic and clean. And whether it's on a blouse or a full maxi dress, I love this, again, easy breezy look. Mix it with some flared blue denim or some ripped jeans, and it's just an easy look that you can wear, you know, maybe to the office and then transition it with some pumps and wear it out at night. It's a really easy look for anyone to pull off. But again, it's a good transition piece, White Lace, one of my favorite things. It's so great. And then we're kind of seeing a change in colors for spring this season. So we always used to see the pastels and all of that stuff, but this time around, we're actually seeing a lot of spice colors. So a lot of, you know, pepper tones, so a lot of blends of red and rust, and then mustards and cinnamon color, and then this deep orange. So these are not colors we usually even see in spring, but we're seeing, again, a lot of them mixed in with these earth tones for spring this year, which is kind of nice because it changes it up. And, you know, again, those colors can really even transition into fall. So it used to be that certain colors were only for certain seasons. And this year we've really seen like all the rules go out the window, and definitely like we saw pastels in the winter, and now we're seeing these spice tones in the spring. So again, that's a really, really great trend for anyone to tap into. And then one of my favorites actually, Kelly, because we always see a lot of floral for spring.
Yep.
I think we've been talking about floral, you and I, for the last 3 years, probably. Mm-hmm, how mm-hmm. floral was so big in every season. Well, we finally changed it up. So now it's not all about the flowers, but it's all about the greenage or the greenery. So if you're seeing a lot of leaf prints right now, which is nice because, you know, people get tired of the same old.
Oh, yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of tones of green. So this is nice because, again, it's kind of tying in with the 70s look. So you're seeing it on full-on maxi dresses. Or you're seeing it on tuxedo blouses. So, pajama blouses. So okay. Remember, pajama blouses used mm-hmm. to be big back then, and pajama bottoms. So you're seeing this make a transition into we've had pajama bottoms for a while, but now just more with prints. And you know, a lot of it, it's the old things we used to see, but we're changing it up. Instead of the floral, it's more of the greenery. So those are kind of my key favorite things for spring this year.
Okay. Now, before I let you go, can you give us like a sneak peek or like a little thought about what are or what some things we will see on upcoming Fashion Fridays?
Okay. I love this. So definitely more denim, because I think that denim is such a huge trend for spring. It always is every spring, but we're just seeing so many different items now. I think that denim skirts, and when you think of denim skirts, don't think of your mom's denim skirt that she used to wear. That's a pencil skirt. Think of something cool and trendy. So you're definitely going to see me do something with denim skirts. And then overalls, can you believe
it? Oh, man, that's awesome.
Denim overalls.
I love it.
Yeah, they're huge. I mean, I don't think I was really on the bandwagon before, but I think they're such a cool look that I can't deny it anymore. And I want to find myself the perfect pair. But I'm definitely going to be doing something with denim overalls. And then I think palazzo pants. It's like one of my favorite things. I've been showing a little bit of it since last year on Fashion Fridays. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is a trend because of the palazzos going more gaucho.
Yeah.
I think I'll definitely be doing something with gaucho pants too.
Awesome.
So if you have them from, you know, maybe like, oh God, I don't want to say this sounds so dated, 8 or 10 years ago. Pull them out of your closet.
Yay.
Pull them out of your closet.
That's amazing.
They're in mint condition.
Oh, God. Awesome. Parmel, my sweet, thank you so much for this. We always appreciate it.
My pleasure, Kelly, and happy shopping to everybody.
Yay, happy spring. That is our fashion consultant, Parmel Gahunia, and again, you can follow her on Instagram at Parmel Gahunia. Make sure to check out her website, parmel-gahunia403.com. And of course, each and every Friday right here on The Kelly Alexander Show, she posts her Fashion Fridays, which you can find on our Facebook page, The Kelly Alexander Show, and on our Instagram at Kelly Alexander Show.
It's The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're looking forward to learning about our next guest. She's a tenor saxophone player from Montreal who's just released her new album, Funky Princess. Chantal Devilliers, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making time for us, and we really appreciate you doing this because we know that French is your first language, so we appreciate that you're going to do this in English for us. So my first question would be, how did you start your career in music?
You know, it's a family thing. When I was young, I always wanted to be a musician or a singer. So I started to play the saxophone at school at the age of 15. And thereafter, I pursued my studies at Cégep Saint-Laurent and Université de Montréal. So I did my bachelor degree. that's how I began music, I think.
Okay. Now, were you always attracted to jazz music specifically?
Yes. I really started listening to jazz music when I was at Cégep. But my dad made me discover some of the great saxophone players, old masters of the sax. So, yes, it's been a long time since I was attracted to jazz music, I think.
Who would you say influenced you the most? You mentioned some jazz greats. Who were influential to you?
Okay, Dexter Gordon, Scott Hamilton, Sam Damon Taylor, lots of great saxophone player.
When was the moment that you knew you wanted to play tenor saxophone? Because obviously, you know, people know that there's different, you know, kinds of saxophone. There's bari sax and soprano. How did you know that tenor was for you?
Yeah, it was at school. I have to choose an instrument, so I chose the tenor. Why? Because of his rich sound. The tenor has such a big sound, and not too high and not too low. So, but I love playing soprano and baritone too, but I choose the tenor for also the tenor. You can play tenor on many styles of music, like pop, jazz, Latin, and many others.
Do you find, Chantal, that the tenor sax gets, I don't know how to put this, the most respect, or does soprano sax or bari sax get more respect in the world of music?
Oh, but we hear a lot of the saxophone, the tenor saxophone, much than soprano and baritone and alto. Don't forget the alto.
Yes, I don't want the alto players mad at me.
I don't know why. Maybe for the what I said, many styles we can use this tenor. So for many styles, I think, I don't know. I don't know why we.
But it gives you lots of options when you play the tenor.
Oui, that's it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, how long did it take you to master the saxophone? And do you really ever master an instrument, or are you always like learning?
Yeah, I don't think you are really mastering the saxophone, but you know, it's not easy to play sax. It takes time to develop a good sound and a good technique. So I think if you have good teachers, my advice would be to practice your technique and play as often as possible in front of an audience.
Okay.
That will help to be a better saxophonist. But I would say be patient.
Okay. Joining us on the show is tenor saxophone player Chantal Devilliers. Make sure to check out her website, chantaldevilliers.com. Chantal, what made you decide to record your new album, Funky Princess?
It's been a dream of mine to record an original album of my compositions. It took a few years to find the best people to work with. And now I have great musicians like Tori Butler, Bert De Villiers, Rich Irwin, Timmy Budzik, Fraser Hollins, Dave Lang on my album. So I made the move.
Okay. Now, on the album itself, do you have a favorite song, or are they all special to you?
I think each one of them is unique in itself. I like music when it's groovy, funky, but I also like great ballads. So, no, it's I don't have a favorite.
Okay. How did you compose these songs? Did you start with the saxophone, or did you have to write first with, you know, the piano?
I used to compose mainly on piano. But with this CD, Funky Princess, I wrote all the compositions on the saxophone. It was easier for me to create a melody.
That's amazing, because I often hear other artists, usually a lot of the artists I interview are either guitar players or piano players, so obviously it's easier for them to compose on those instruments. Do you think it made a big difference by composing it on the saxophone first as opposed to the piano, because you were being like pure, I guess, recording or composing with the saxophone first?
But I think it's, like I said, that we create more melody. It's an instrument. It's a melodic instrument.
Okay.
For me, it gives a new sound on my album than my compositions on piano.
Okay. Now, Montreal has a world-renowned jazz festival each summer. Do you think that it reflects a healthy jazz scene in Montreal and across Canada? Do you think we have a healthy jazz scene in our country?
Yes, it's really great that we have such a famous jazz festival in Montreal. And it gives me and people to discover new musicians. So the musicians still need as much support as possible from the audience. I certainly encourage people to support live music and buy CD.
Excellent. How well does Canada support and nurture young musicians, do you feel, and specifically, obviously, in your genre of jazz, do you think there's a support system for kids to learn jazz?
Quebec and Canada, like Conseil des Arts du Canada, Factor, Musique Action, to name a few, do support artists. I was fortunate to be held by Factor for my recording. Makes really the difference, all the difference. And I am most grateful for this.
Now, what is next for you now that the album is out? Are you going to go on tour? And if you are, will it be mainly in Quebec or will you maybe try to do other dates in Canada?
Yeah, next is to present my music live for sure. But no dates are confirmed. You can go see, you can go visit my website. All the concerts will be announced on my website.
Now, I wanted to ask you as well, now that you've done this album, Funky Princess, what was the experience like overall, and do you think you will make another one?
Oh, yeah, I want to make another one for sure. I really loved my experience, and when you have the great, équipe,
yeah, the team.
Équipe, it's a good team, that's right. When you have a good team, you just... you wanted to record another album for sure.
Excellent. Chantal, thank you so much for your time today. We really, really appreciate it, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
That is tenor saxophone player Chantal Devilliers. Again, check out her website, chantaldevilliers.com, and her brand new CD, Funky Princess. Thank you.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
As always, we appreciate you spending time with us on the show this week, and a big thank you going out to my guests, Cece Peniston, Parmal Gahunia, and Chantal Devilliers. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Helen Keller. Faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, at @KAlexanderShow, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram, at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, our YouTube channel, which features our interviews, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have an awesome week. You and I will chat soon.